Richard from VegGrower Podcast, and this is episode 107, titled How I Grow Tomatoes. Today's date is the 13th of March 2017. Coming up today, I've got the usual diary with what's been happening on the plots over the last couple of weeks. And then I'm going to follow that with a bit on tomatoes. I'm going to go a bit into the history of tomatoes. And then just a little discussion on how I grow them. So stay tuned for that. But just before I start all that, last week's YouTube video launched on Thursday. Response has been great. The competition is involved in that one, of course. Response has been great with that. It looks like somebody's definitely going to win it because there's plenty of entries. So everyone's name will go into a hat on that. And we'll go from there. But what I just want to mention is a couple of you listening to the podcast actually mentioned on there that you listen. Love it. Absolutely love it. Great to hear from you. I think one of you sort of said the image you had in your head of how you imagined what I look like was nothing like what you've seen. Well, that's the joys of podcasting. I've done it myself so many times. Imagine that how somebody looks and they turn out completely different. So that's the magic of podcasts. And someone else sort of said they actually listened to the podcast while turning over their garden. And again, I think that is the magic of podcasts. YouTube is great. I love watching what everyone's doing on there. But of course, you've got to be sat down or doing something that enables you to watch it and pay attention. For me, podcasts, I love podcasts because I could be out driving in my van and I've got a podcast on. I could be working on the plots and I'm listening to a podcast. If I miss anything, I can just rewind. I can fast forward if I find something a bit boring or what have you. I think that is just the true advantage over podcasts. Anyway, so thank you really much for all those that have entered. It's still going on until this Sunday, the 19th, at which point I will put everybody's name into a hat and whoever wins will be announced. However, because a couple of you have actually said you on YouTube that you listen to the podcasts, it's making me think I might do a podcast competition over the next couple of weeks. I'll have a think on that. It'll be a similar sort of thing, but if I can get, it'll be a similar sort of thing as the YouTube. I'll get people commenting on the blog posts, and whoever comments, a name will go in a hat. But that's not going to be this week. Just let me know if that's something that interests you. Let me know and I'll start it. Anyway, so what have I done over this last week? Well, during the week, I moved many seedlings into the greenhouse where they actually seem to be growing really well and putting on growth. I've done this just to try and make a bit more room in the potting shed because it's getting a bit full of seedlings. And I need some more space because now is the time I can start starting some seeds off without any bottom heat or without the propagator. So more room I have in there, the better. Saturday, I went down to the allotment. And my first job was literally just to go around streaming all the area. Just to cut all the grass down and tidy it up a bit. I normally find during the summer that I have to do this every week, so I'll probably be doing this a bit more often from now on. I then planted some potatoes into potato growing bags. These are the variety called Home Guard that I've mentioned many times before. One of my favourites. Absolutely love growing these. And I've used some of the potato bags I used last year just to because they were there. Some of the ones that were too badly ripped have gone in the bin, but I had about 9 that were usable, which was all I needed in the end, 9 bags. Each bag was half filled with well-rotted manure. 2 of the large bags, I placed 4 of small sea potatoes in. All the rest had 2 larger potatoes, sea potatoes in. I then covered these with some more manure, gave a good sprinkling of fertiliser and a good watering in. So we'll be monitoring those and seeing how they get on this year. However, this is going to be every week, I'd imagine, for the next few weeks. There'll be more potatoes going in of different varieties. So it'll be an ongoing project. After this, I then spent quite a few hours on my hands and knees just pulling out weeds by hand. I haven't been able to remove every single weed, but I've got quite a good few out. Took me quite a few hours to get them all out, if I'm honest, but it'll make life easier in the long run. I also learned that one of my neighbours has packed up her plot. Now, this was the plot that I originally applied for. She had taken it on in January, and now she's given it up and moving away, which I'm quite surprised about because she seemed quite keen, but hey-ho. Sunday, I was at home and I was lucky enough for my niece to come round and she helped me sow some peas. These are a variety called Meteor and Marrow. Meteor is just a standard garden pea variety. Marrow is the mushy pea variety that I grew last year. Pretty successfully, but I just want to try and grow them again and see if I can do better with them, of course. Should add, my niece is only 3 years old, so she's quite young, and it was quite fun, actually. She really enjoyed it. And I do like to involve my nieces into the whole gardening world. I think it does them a world of good to see it. And she loved it. Then went into the potting shed and sowed some more tomato seeds, a variety called Crimson Crush and Black Mountain. These are both blight-resistant varieties as an experiment to see which performs better. I also sown some sweet peppers, a variety called California Wonder. This was just more to finish off the seed packet up. We'll see how they get on as well. Pricked out some tomato seedlings that were sown previously. This was a variety called Red Pear. So kind of a pear cherry type. I also potted on some shallot seedlings. These were called Simeon. I can never pronounce it quite right. These have all gone into the deep root trainers that I use. What I have noticed over this last week is that everything in the greenhouse and the potting shed is needing watering every couple of days. So it's getting warm enough in there and keeping a close eye on things. So watering is a big job. However, given the lighter evenings at the moment, it's not that difficult to do. I've also noticed that many garden centres are actually starting to sell their young potted vegetable seedlings such as tomatoes and things. Now these they're undercover, but they're outside at the same time. If that makes sense, they've got a roof over them. So, but I think it's just showing that they are getting strong enough to go on. Obviously, in a garden centre, they're mollycoddled. They're sheltered. They're watered regularly. They're treated pretty good, and they've also been grown on quite strong by the nurserymen, so that they are strong plants to begin with. But I always like to use the garden centres as a guide to work out if it's ready to get plants out, if they're going to do okay in a cold frame or a greenhouse. So this is telling me, yeah, they'll cope in a cold frame or a greenhouse at this moment in time. So on with tomatoes. My first bit is just a bit on the history. Well, firstly, tomatoes obviously come in hundreds and hundreds of varieties. So many that I don't think I could grow every single variety in my lifetime. But it does leave plenty of room for experimenting with different varieties. There's many different varieties that vary from tiny cherry tomatoes to giant beefsteaks, with colours that range from sort of yellow through red to purple, although we generally only really imagine the red variety. And of course, there's the shape. You've got the small, round ones, the flat, the plum-shaped, and so on. So, the history of tomatoes. Well, the tomato originates from Western, Central, and South America. And it is believed that the very original tomatoes were a small cherry type and yellow. As they are a member of a nightshade variety, they were originally thought to be poisonous by Europeans. However, Aztecs and many of the ancient inhabitants used the fruit in cooking. And although it's not really known when it was first domesticated, it is known that by 500 BC it was being cultivated in southern Mexico. The Spanish conquistador Hernan Cortes is believed to be the first to transfer the small yellow tomato to Europe in 1521 after capturing an Aztec city. Although Christopher Columbus may have taken them back in 1493, we can't verify that at this moment in time. The earliest mention of a tomato in European literature appeared in Herbal in 1544 by Pietro Andrea Metelio. Herbal, basically, was a book containing the names and descriptions of plants, and it gave information on what its use is for, what it's tasted like, how it was used, how it was grown, medicinal uses, and any sort of folklore about the plant as well. The Spanish then distributed through their colonies in the Caribbean, then on to the Philippines, where it spread through Southeast Asia and on through the whole Asian continent, which is why it's used so much in Asian food. I've always personally wondered why tomatoes were used in Asian food, yet comes from, you know, Southern America. So, and that's how it happened. It was trade. It was traded and found very popular. The Spanish also found it grew very well in Mediterranean climates. So they took it back to theirs, to Spain, and it grew well. It was first recorded in Italy in 1548. And there it was originally grown as ornamentals, interestingly. Eventually it was used in cookery. But I think because of the scepticism with it being poisonous, it was just treated as an ornamental originally. They reached Britain in the 1590s. One of the earliest cultivators was a chap named John Gerard, a barber surgeon. But Gerard went on to write Gerard's Herbal in 1597, which is basically his version of the herbal book that I mentioned earlier. Gerard knew that the fruits were being eaten in Italy and Spain, but still believed them to be poisonous. And his word was still pretty influential at this time, so it didn't really take off in Britain. However, by the mid-18th century, they were eaten widely. So this is nearly a couple hundred years, I guess, give or take. And the Encyclopedia Britannica described them as eaten daily in broths and soups and as in a garnish. But by 1820, they were common on the markets. And it's kind of taken off from there. And some people may class tomatoes as a staple. They're always on sale in supermarkets, so they can be eaten daily. And the amount of use of them in cookery probably lends itself to being eaten daily and as a staple. Anyway, that's a brief history out the way. I always think it's good to look at the history of anything, just to kind of learn from it. I mean, like I said, it originated in South America, so we know it likes a warm climate. And then I find it interesting to see how it's developed and grown, went through Asia, for example, and used in so many Asian dishes. So I just find that a little bit interesting. But, you know, the main thing is, obviously, how do I grow tomatoes? Well, I start my tomatoes as early as mid-January. As I've already said, they need heat coming originating from warmer climates, so they need heat and a long growing season. And I find by starting them in January in a heated propagator, they get that long growing season and they start off with that warmth. I generally just sow them in my little seed trays that I discussed last week with seed sowing compost. Pot in the soil, sprinkled over a few seeds, and then sieve over some compost and perlite. Well watered in and placed on the heated propagator and left to germinate, which can be quite quick. Generally, I find within a week or two. Once they've all germinated, I then move them into my second propagator, which has the vents open. This just lets the moisture out so they're not going to rot. Where, that's where they will continue to grow for another couple of weeks, but depends on the weather. At the moment, it's probably about another week. Then once they've germinated, once they've been in there for the time, I then prick them out and pot them into individual pots. And basically what I'm doing is just separating all the seedlings into their own pots so they can got room to grow without getting tangled up with each other. At the moment, I am now using my deep root drainers from Hacknix. But in the past, I've used individual pots or some of the paper pots that basically disappear into the ground. Once they're all into the individual pots, it does depend on the weather, what I do with them next. They may go back into the propagator with a vent open, or I may just pot them on top of the propagator so they're still getting a bit of heat from the bottom, not as much as inside, but it's just keeping them that little bit warmer. However, this time of year, it's not a problem. But they continue to grow in my potting shed and greenhouse. And I like to keep them pretty well watered but drained. So it's probably a bit of a oxymoron there, but what I mean by that is the soil is spray the water over the top and the water can, like a sponge, soak into the soil but come out the bottom and run away. Sometimes use a feed when they're young like this. I use a seaweed feed, and that'll promote good root growth. I keep an eye on the bottom of the pots, and if the roots are growing out the bottom, that's when you need to pot them on into bigger pots, because that's a sign that they are getting a bit too big for the pot. I tend to plant them out. Now, if they're going in the greenhouse by about mid-April, and if they're going outside, mid-May, but that does depend on the weather. I can sometimes get away with it a bit earlier or a bit later if it's getting a cold snap in particular May. But generally speaking, that's the time to aim for. Where I am, obviously, I'm on the south coast, so I do get a bit better weather at that time of year, a bit warmer, so I can kind of get away with it a bit more, better than if you're up north. They like, obviously, being from a warmer climate, they like summer hot and with plenty of sunlight. So that positioning is quite important. But they do okay in the shade. A friend of mine grows his, and his garden gets no sunlight at all. And his he grows some excellent tomatoes. His plants are stunning because they are huge. But he does mollycoddle them a lot. So a lot of water and a lot of feeding, and they grow fantastic. I continue to keep them watered and fed, but when they're planted out, I tend to switch to a well. In the past, I've used tomato feed, which is a pretty good feed for them. However, now I use more of the wormery feed and some homemade feed from Comfrey, which gives it all the nutrients it will need. You're basically looking to produce decent flowers here, which is what you want to look at the feed for. I also like to place a cane with each plant so I can tie it in using a bit of twine. I use twine because it rots away. You just want to loosely tie it so as it grows straight and up the cane. Easier said than done, because mine are never that neat and tidy, if I'm honest. Once the plant reaches sort of head height or shoulder height, I like to pinch off the top so as it doesn't grow any higher. And this encourages the plant to actually grow quite bushy, which in turn produces better fruits. There is also a case of pinching out the side shoots, and that is where you basically if you imagine you've got a stem running up, and then you have a branch, if you like, coming off to the side. In between that joint, you can sometimes get another, it looks like a leaf or a stem growing from there. They're called side shoots, and I like to just pinch those off, just cut them off, because they don't do anything, they just sap energy, so they're no good. You remove those. You can actually replant them if you feel so desired, but I've not really done that because of, well, we need the weather. We need a long growing season, and by that point it's probably a bit too late in the year, but it is worth a shot. It can be very successful. So now it's just a case of ensuring plenty of insects are there to pollinate, which isn't hard. I've never actually had to go around and hand pollinate. I've always let insects do it, so it's really not difficult. And then when I harvest, I'm looking for fruits that are fully ripe, i.e. fully in the correct colour. And then I just pick those off and take them into the kitchen. Give them a good wash off, of course. You can eat them raw, such as in salads, curries, stews, soups, so on and so on. Hundreds of uses that I couldn't sit here and discuss every single one. I'll be here all day, but they are such a common food staple. Now, the only actual problem I get with tomatoes, if I'm honest, is blight, which is a fungal disease. You will hear people discuss this all the time. It is such a big problem. There's no treatment actually on the market anymore for blight, so the only way is to try and prevent this fungal disease from getting hold. That's why I like blight-resistant varieties such as Crimson Crush. However, blight occurs when heat and humidity are just right. You're looking for that Goldilocks period, also called the Smith time. But to reduce the chance, good ventilation and watering from the base so you don't get any water on the leaves is all ideal. This Smith period is generally around July time, although I tend to get blight around October, interestingly. That's another reason I like to grow things early, so I can get a harvest off them before blight takes hold. Anyway, so that's how I grow tomatoes. What do you do? Let me know in the comments. Now, last week, I didn't actually release any recipe or news as I was just busy with so many things. But normal service will resume this week. I've got a recipe coming out, which is an adaptation of leek tagliatelle that I made last week. It's actually going to be leek pasta, but who cares? The items of this week is going to be several varieties of tomatoes that I use. Visit the blog and click on the link if you're interested in buying these. First is Crimson Crush, which I've featured before. Really good blight resistance, so that's why I love these. Alicante is another variety I'm growing this year. Really good flavour, very reliable. And a pretty good plants, and I also find they come quite early, so that's why I'm growing them. And Gardener's Delight is another very popular and very easy variety to grow, so those are the three that I am listing as my item of the week. Now, don't forget you can support us by doing the Amazon shopping through the link on the bottom of every blog post. And that'll be it for this week, so thank you very much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Let me know any comments and suggestions in the comments on the blog. That's at theveggrowpodcast.co.uk. Love to hear from you, really do. And I will speak to you all again next week.